James chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbour bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
So this morning, we're not going to have a three-point sermon because I couldn't find 3 points. So we're just going to be thinking about two. And the title was Two Types of Wisdom. And I wonder this morning, which one do we exhibit? Which one do I exhibit? So it said, to whom do we go to find wisdom? And we have two choices. We can go to God, who is the divine. And we can pray about all things, like we've just been doing. We can pray about all our decisions and our deeds. And if you remember, we've been going through the book of James, and it's very challenging, I have to say. And right at the beginning, verse 5, it said, we need to ask for wisdom. So I wonder if you've been asking more for wisdom since we've been doing the book of James. I have, simply because I've had quite a few assignments to do for college and I've really needed some help. So I've been asking quite regularly for wisdom for my assignments. But have we been asking for wisdom for other things? And then we need to think about, do we demonstrate humility? Humility in the dictionary says, recognition of self in relation to God. So as we're all here this morning, I think we've come to worship God and to listen to him and to recognise that he is the true wisdom. That true wisdom does come from him, and we acknowledge that he is important in our lives. We put God in our rightful, in his rightful place as we sing the songs and pray the prayers. James encourages us to be a friend of God. And we all like to have friends, don't we? And I just think it's lovely to be a friend of God. But then he says, do not be friends with the world. Be friends with God, but not the world. And we are to boast about God. God is our rock, God is our confidence, and we are to boast of him. So now we're going to think about a few negatives to start with, but we will end up thinking about positives, so don't despair just quite yet. It talks about envy. Envy is a desire for what another has. Bitter envy means that a person wants something so much that he is angry and hateful over it. Bitterness leads to resentment. And Satan takes great delight in burdening our hearts with these harmful emotions. And physically, this is not good for us either, because it makes us ill. So this is not very wise. What do I get envious about, I was thinking. Well, it could be cars, it could be houses, it could be jobs or successful positions. But it says in Exodus, doesn't it? You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. We can be envious because other people have sinned and they've got away with it. And we can envy those that have more than we have. Envy often springs up when we receive unwarranted correction. We can feel envy when one receives attention we desire for ourselves, or when we fail to receive hard-earned recognition. When we start to think only of me, then it all starts to go wrong. You think, well, I've done this, and I deserve this. But actually, we don't deserve anything. The Bible says, actually, all we deserve is death. And we like to think that we're important, but actually nobody is indispensable. Who do we live our lives trying to please? Right back in the very beginning of James, the very first verse, he talks about being a servant of God. So if we have a servant heart like James did, then our natural aim will be to please God and to please others. Selfish ambition. Do we live our lives for God? Do we dare to ask what he wants, just in case it doesn't match up with what we want? Sometimes we have to ask ourselves hard questions, and nobody likes to do this. Sometimes we run away from it. So are we self-seeking? Do our aims and our objectives for our life fall into line with the teaching of Jesus? We've learnt a lot about our speaking and the way that we use our tongue. So do we use words to build up or to burn? If we are envious and bitter, selfish, it will probably show in our words, unless we're really good at putting on a mask, covering up the real us. Do our bodily actions show that we're upset or we're angry? Can you tell by looking at people's face and the way they are and their tone whether they're angry or not? Do our works show wisdom? So the things that we do they show wisdom? Self-focused people constantly talk about themselves. You will have noticed. And they talk about their achievements, their experiences, their things, their opinions, their amazing children, their amazing pets, and so it goes on. Quite often, people who are like this, selfish, proud, and bullshit, they're not very nice people to be around. So when we think about ourselves, do we think that, oh, I am important? Do we put ourselves on a pedestal? And if we do that, then we end up looking down at other people and probably putting them down in conversation too. This is all very negative and very critical and very destructive. And we should not lie to ourselves. We should be real with ourselves and get our heads around the fact that we don't deserve anything and that we are nothing without God. So our lives should be about Jesus and not about me. We do sing a song, don't we? It's all about you, Jesus. It's not about me. And sometimes I giggle when I sing that because actually sometimes I do think it's about me and I get it wrong. Our only hope is in Christ. How much of our needs and desires for our agenda each day are what Christ wants? And how much room do we make for others? All very hard questions. Please stay with me. Do we want to be earthly this morning, unspiritual and demonic? Or do we want disorder in the church, chaos and division? Or would we like our churches to be structured, all in order and harmonious? The enemy this morning wants to confuse. He wants to divide us and he wants to make us ineffective. He would be very happy if that happened. But that's not how it should be. So we shouldn't be petty about silly little things and get easily offended. We should be seeking to love one another and to be reconciled with one another. So how do you get along with others? What are our relationships like with one another? And as you think about this, what does this reveal about me? What does this reveal about us? And is there anything where God wants to put a finger this morning and say, you could do with getting that a bit better? Now we're going to think about the positives. Yippee! It's not all negative. Okay, so let's think about the positives. The Bible says, as we've already said, we need to ask for wisdom. Matthew says we need to ask and go on asking. Okay? We don't give up. We keep on pressing on. So I heard a phrase when I moved jobs, and actually I was moving to the job here. I was reducing my hours and my money and to step out in faith, really. And at the time, I heard on the telly, success is doing what God wants. So that made me feel a lot better because I felt it was right and God wanted me to come here. We are clay in the potter's hands. And if we keep this in mind, we will never have to cause think about being more righteous or more successful or more honourable than anybody else, because we just give ourselves to God and let him mould us into the shape that he would like. Divine wisdom comes from God, and we need a little help with this. So we need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to be able to achieve these things. So it goes on to be talking about being pure. Now, the dictionary definition is having no moral failing or guilt. Well, we know that's not going to happen because the Bible tells us that we are all sinners saved by God's grace. And so we can seek to be purified and to be cleansed. We can ask if we can take on the characteristics of God and be more like Jesus. James says quite a lot, do not be double-minded. Do not be hypocritical. Try to be consistent in your Christian walk. We need to ask for forgiveness regularly, and we need to ask if we can be pure. Matthew says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Who wants to see God this morning? And I guess that's all of us. We all want to see God. So have a spirit of tranquility and calmness and be sincere. And we might not have this all of the time, but we can aim to go for some. It says we need to be peaceable with one another and gentle. Now, this reminds me of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So if we have all of those, it's a really good start. It says we should aim to be considerate or kindly in our disposition, amiable and tender with one another. It talks about submitting and yielding to surrender oneself to the will or authority of another. Now we do this, don't we, to God, and quite often we'll sing songs about surrender and sacrifice. But what are we like when we have to do it to each other? It's a real challenge. Are we full of mercy? Are we merciful and compassionate with one another? Kind? Even towards people who we don't get on with, even for our enemies, offenders, we need to go that far. We need to have mercy because actually God has mercy on us and we are sinners. We get it wrong. So if God can show us mercy, then we should demonstrate mercy to others. So are we demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit this morning? Are we showing that we belong to Christ? And is there any evidence? When I was a youth worker, it was sort of rammed down your neck all of the time that you need to have evidence for the work that you're doing for the council. So I was regularly filling in forms and taking photographs, as I was yesterday when some of us were doing the first aid course, snapping away to prove we've done the course, we've got the certificate. So I have photographic evidence. But what's the evidence like of our Christian lives? And if other people ask for our evidence, have we got any? It's a good question. Are we demonstrating the love that Jesus wants to? Are we treating others with dignity and honour? And those are quite strong words that we probably don't think about very often. Now, Corinthians, this just makes me think about Corinthians 13. Love is patient, it is kind. It says it does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud, it is not dishonouring to others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. That means you can smile. It protects, trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, and love never fails. And that is our aim. A harvest of righteousness is sown. We often talk about harvest, don't we, in terms of bringing in the lost and bringing people to church. But the church needs to demonstrate the positives and demonstrate good fruit for there to be any chance of a harvest, because if we're not attractive, how are they ever going to see Jesus and be tempted to come in? People need to see a difference in our lives, and we need to have a desire for God's wisdom. We need to live our lives with integrity and to speak wisely. We can't do this in our own strength. I've said it already. We can't do it in our own strength. We can only do this with God's help, by being filled with the Holy Spirit and the fire of God. So let the Holy Spirit control your tongue and your conversation. Spend time with God, and the more time we spend with God, we become more holy and more like Him. We can praise God with our tongues. We can witness for God with our tongues. There are lots of positive things that we can do. We can affirm and encourage one another. And I'm not sure if some of you are aware, but I've been doing some chaplaincy work at Maryhill. Basically, you just come alongside the staff that work there and just generally chit-chat to them and just make sure they're okay. And the guy who's training me, he keeps saying, look for the positives and affirm people in what they're doing. Tell them they're doing a good job. Tell them they look nice. I said to the one lady once, oh, you look really lovely today. She said, oh, you've made my day. And it does make a difference, doesn't it? The words that we speak to one another. So we need to affirm each other and encourage each other. It makes a huge difference. And sometimes a word that we say or a sentence people might remember that for the rest of their lives, and we don't know the impact that that will have. So we need to pray for one another and to be accountable. It's good if you've got a prayer partner, so when you've got it wrong, you can share that you've got it wrong, pray about it, and then go out ready to start again. So are our tongues on fire for God this morning? Do we demonstrate heavenly wisdom? Are we overflowing with God? Because remember, what's inside will spill out. Father God, I just pray that your word will pierce our hearts this morning, that you will reveal to us what we need to change, and that you will help us to be more like you. Make me like you, Jesus, make me like you. We are your servants. Make us one too. Lord, we are willing. Do what you must do. But make us like you, Lord. Make us like you.